Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have with us a couple of guys from The Freshman Circus, a new show that has debuted. I think we're on episode 2 right now as it's dropped. And it's going to be fun because we have Gary and Gary with us. We actually have Gary McKee and Gary Maselli. So during this interview, I'm actually going to use their last names so we can keep all this square and everything. But Gary and Gary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, likewise. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of questions that I'm going to direct towards Gary Maselli to begin with. So Gary McKee, if you can just, you know, hang out and, you know, get some beer and, you know, kind of sit back and enjoy yourself while we're talking about this, you know, I'd appreciate that. And then we'll get into some of that. But I got to ask, Gary Maselli.
Yeah.
We just released a podcast episode the other day. And my co-host and I, and our co-host, he couldn't arrive today. He had some stuff going on, but we're huge Star Wars fans. And I'm reading up about you, and you have this one-man show that you do a lot of characters from Star Wars: A New Hope. And honestly, you would think we planned this, but our last podcast episode, we talked about Star Wars: A New Hope. I need you to walk me through how you created this one-man show about Star Wars: A New Hope and what you did.
Right. So what I did basically is I condensed the two-hour movie down to about 45, 50 minutes. I took some things out and put some new characters in. And I did this show just by myself. I did all the voices. I did all the characters on stage. Just me, no props, no sets. It was just me with khakis and a blue shirt, and I just ran through the entire movie. I did that a bunch of times at different places, and it was really, really fun.
So yeah, so you did all the voices yourself. Give me your R2-D2 voice. I know you probably got to get ready for it, but R2-D2 is my absolute favorite Star Wars character. So I got to hear what you did for R2-D2. That's good. I mean, that's better than I can do. I mean, he's tough. I always said that R2-D2 was the most vulgar character of all time. And so George Lucas...
Yeah, you don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, well, George Lucas basically had to bleep out everything the guy said. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Right. So good deal. Well, sounds like a lot of fun, and that shows kind of your creativity. I mean, to be able to take a movie like that has, you know, so much in and out with that you got to go through. I mean, I would have loved to seen the show. Hopefully, maybe you can revamp it, something like that, you know, maybe have us out to see it. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about is your book on collecting Hollywood. So you have this book about collectibles in Hollywood. What got you interested into that?
Yeah. Okay, so I have been collecting memorabilia ever since I think the first thing I got, I was about 6 years old, a little Batman statue. I still have it to this day. And I've been collecting for about 22, 23 years. I've worked with different companies. I've consulted a bunch for Hollywood memorabilia. And yeah, it's just all about collecting your favorite Hollywood treasure, preserving it, and keeping it for the future. I just got in my collection recently two scripts from the Dick Van Dyke Show given to me by someone that knew a producer on that show. And I said, well, if you don't want these scripts, I'll take them. I mean, this is part of American history. This is part of American television. So memorabilia is a humongous thing for me.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the things that you've collected memorabilia that, you know, other than those scripts from Dick Van Dyke, what are some of those home runs that maybe you grabbed hold of?
Right. So right now, as it's standing, I have the biggest collection of Inspector Gadget movie memorabilia in the world. And that includes the US, UK, and other places overseas. Collection with Matthew Broderick's two of his hats, his badge, his coat, his shirt, and a bunch of Dr. Claw stuff and some production artwork and some autographs. And yeah, that was basically my prime jewelry, because I remember seeing that in, I believe, 1998 or 99 when it came out in the movie theaters. And I said, I need that stuff. And over time, you know, you talk to the right people, and I tried my hardest, and I was able to find some of the items that were used in the film.
Gotcha. And what's that one elusive item that you would just absolutely love to get a hold of that maybe you've been hunting around for and you haven't found, or you had, you know, the untold amount of money that somebody could just cut the check for? What's that one item that you say, hey, this is that piece of Hollywood memorabilia that I absolutely want?
Right. So my thing was, I always wanted to see the ruby slippers, Judy Garland's ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz. To me, that item is priceless. You can never really put an accurate assessment on that thing. I went to Washington not too long before the virus, and I was able to see them in person. I said, if I had these, I would put them in a museum as well, because I think everyone around the world should see them.
Right. Well, and I've seen them too. I mean, I remember going to the Smithsonian and everything and seeing that. And I mean, that's something you can't get a hold of, right? Or maybe if you're Nicolas Cage and you're stealing the Declaration of Independence, and at the same time, oh, and I'll grab the ruby slippers also. Is there something that is kind of floating out there that you would say is attainable, and you've been trying to hunt it down and maybe trying to figure out a way that you can grab a hold of that, or at least maybe help somebody else grab a hold of?
Yeah. So I've done a lot of consulting work. Today I was talking to someone that wanted some original production scripts from like Child's Play, American Horror Story. And I kind of walked her through the process of where to get them. And I showed her some stuff that is available on the market, and showed her some real stuff, because we know there's a lot of fakes out there. But yeah, but the thing that I would really, really want for my collection as a holy grail. I would love to find Inspector Gadget's tie and his pants, so then I can complete my costume. Then I can one day have a mannequin with the entire costume on it and put it, you know, archiving behind glass. Like, that would be really, really good. I've been seeing those items for sale, but the thing that I saw for sale that I'm trying to get is some original scripts from the TV shows that I love. Happy Days, Gilligan's Island, those are the shows from the 60s. Those are what I'm trying to hunt for right now.
So how do you differentiate between the fake stuff and the real stuff? I mean, that's got to be tough, especially with scripts that are on paper. So how do you validate the fact that this is a real script and not something that somebody printed off on old paper or something and made try to look original?
Right, you're absolutely right. I can go online and type in MASH season pilot PDF, and I can get a MASH script printed out, and I can sell it to you and say, yep, I got it real. But it all comes down to provenance. Know who you're buying from, knowing where it came from. Luckily, I think in this field, we've all gotten burned at some point, but you know, you live and you learn. And I think provenance is probably the best thing, where you're getting it from. If they're getting it from a source, where are they getting from? Maybe a producer was in the family, maybe their grandpa was on the show and he got an episode, or he was on an episode and he got a script. It really all comes down to who it is, if you could trust them, how their record is, how their history is. Like you said, I always say, unless you were there, you cannot confirm 100% that item was used in the film or the television show. You cannot say 100% because simply you weren't there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And that's got to be tough with a lot of Hollywood memorabilia. And you get into some films that are famous films, and I mean, people make replicas all the time, you know, especially going back to Star Wars, right? There's a whole genre of people that make fake lightsabers or fake Han Solo guns and all that stuff. And the replicas are so great that it's hard to say that this wasn't actual film used. And I think there's a term for that, right? That whether or not it was film used or something else like that, like hero cars. I've always heard that, was a hero car that was in a movie or in a TV show or whatever, versus a car that was just used for pictures and for marketing stuff. So carries a different amount of value behind that. So great.
Yeah.
But so good to catch up on that. But hey, we're here to talk about your new show, Freshman Circus. And so, now we got Gary McKee. He's waking up. Now it's like, okay, now you're actually going to start asking me questions, right? So, but glad y'all are here to talk about this. So let's talk a little bit about Freshman Circus. So how did y'all come up with the idea of Freshman Circus?
Well, I'll take this one. So Miss Sally and I met through Facebook, of all places. I think he was putting out a search, like, hey, I'm interested in finding new actors. And I was like, I wasn't doing anything at the time. We were stuck at home. So I was like, sure. I mean, what's the age range on this character? What are you looking for? So then he looked at my stuff. Like, I think he said he loved my comedy reel. And I was like, oh, yep, okay, great. I'll do this. So from there, it was just, originally it was me, Miceli, and our Miss Josephine, Jessica, and two other people. And we were trying to figure it out, like all good things, we're trying to figure out like how to feel people, like, okay, I like you, I don't like you. And so something came up with the other two people. They had other commitments. So I said, hey, how about we just keep going? I could probably help you write something, because I just felt the idea was too simple to pass up. So I just felt like, hey, let's keep doing this. Like, I can find us people. So I reached out to two of my colleagues, who Noelle, who's doing Ingrid, and Jesse, who's doing Kevin. And from there, I think everything started to take shape. And it's like, it's kind of like creating that souffle. It's like, oh my God, it's rising. It's rising.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. So when you're trying to, churn out this idea of, these freshmen, especially in this age of COVID that we're in right now, and that's kind of what you're basing this off of, was there something that happened that you said, hey, here's a great idea for a show because of what's going on? Is that kind of the genesis of the project?
Right. Well, I was finishing college at the time. I just finished in August 2020. So I originally had this idea in about June and July, because when we first got blasted with COVID, my school was saying, stay home, we'll do online. I was like, all right, no drive for me, no half an hour drive. So when we logged onto Zoom, we saw people's real personalities. You saw somebody was in a bathrobe. You saw someone with like their mom keep walking back and forth. You saw people's bedrooms, and the people that you went to school with. You really saw who they were. And I said, I think there could be something with this, but I want to make it as silly yet relatable as I can. All the characters in the show I went to school with. Like Kevin, I went to school with, Gary McKee's character I went to school with. So I wanted to base all of it in reality, because I wanted people to say, I know these people.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And so as you're trying to fill in the other cast, you say you went to school with all these people, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to school with all these people. All these people were inspired. Like Kevin was inspired by someone I went to, I forget the class, but I had a class that there was literally a person exactly like Kevin in my class. And I said, maybe I'll use him one day, kind of thing. But, now I never thought Freshman Circus would be this big beast.
Right. Right now. And that's good. But of course, what we're dealing with right now with the whole COVID thing, everybody's on Zoom, everybody's kind of held up everywhere, depending on what part of the country you're in. Do you think the show would have worked without the Zoom aspect? Like, if you actually filmed it normally, do you think you could have spun it into a show that would have worked like a normal show? And I use the term normal, you know what I mean, but a regular show that was filmed, or would this just be kind of a Zoom type show?
So I think everything that has to do with the show, all the writing in it, all the Zoom aspect, I think it would only work for now. I think I told Gary McKee this. I said, if we do this, we have to do this now, because in a year and a half, we're probably not going to be quarantined. So I don't know if it's going to be something relevant. And that's the thing. I also thought of this like kind of like a time capsule, where people can go back to it and say, why are they doing Oh, that's why they were doing Zoom.
Right. Yeah, well, it's kind of like if you said to anybody in 2019, hey, I'm going to go by the drive-by birthday party today, and after that, then I'm going to go get another mask. You know, you'd be looked at as crazy with all this that's going on. So it makes total sense. So going into what you're trying to put together with this show, could you see some kind of, you know, when we exit this, you know, quarantine or whatever you want to call it, could you see some kind of a reunion type show of, hey, now we don't have to be on Zoom, we don't have to do all this stuff, and kind of, you know, push it into the next level?
I would say yes, and solely for the reason that the characters can transcend this medium of Zoom, because they, as Miss Ellie was saying, they're very relatable people. We worked hard to ground them in reality while also exaggerating certain features about themselves. I think it could even work as a, I'm trying not to spoil stuff, like as a dual, like a dramedy almost.
Sure.
Like a little bit of, you know, Saved by the Bell with the little taste of 13 Reasons Why, maybe.
Gotcha. So walk us through the characters.
So I'll start with mine. I play Noah Beckett. He's a gamer, hacktivist, future, like, probably anarchist in making. He's very guarded and is very skeptical of his classmates. He thinks highly, I would say he thinks highly of himself and not so much of other people until he gets to know them towards the end. And then there's Ingrid, who's played by Noelle Gibson. She's this super hippie vegan girl who's into nature, flowers, and peace. And then we have Kevin Jones, who's this wannabe musclehead who's into everything Joe Rogan. Like, if Joe Rogan says jump off the lake, that's what Kevin's doing. And yeah, we have Zeke. You want to take that one, Miss Ellie?
So Zeke is something and someone I think everyone should inspire to be. Right now, season two, you really don't know much about him, but I'm sure everyone knows when they go to class and they go to college and whatever class they go into, there's always that one kid that's in the corner that's sleeping, and that's Zeke. But little by little, you start to see why he sleeps and you start to learn more about him.
So it is.
Then we have Miss.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I was just going to ask. So, is Zeke one of those guys that kind of like I did in college, where I had 8 o'clock classes and I realized that was a huge mistake to actually have an 8 o'clock class because it was very hard to get there? And so that's why he's sleeping.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say he sleeps in class because of actually a legitimate reason. Okay. It's not like he's bored of class or anything, but he's sleeping for a reason.
Gotcha. No, it makes sense. Now, go ahead and fill us in with the other character.
Oh, yeah. There's the teacher, Miss Alana Josephine, played by Jessica Dardarian. And she's a young-ish teacher who's in over her head. I believe she feels like she can make a difference, but she's not quite prepared, as most teachers during this pandemic weren't prepared for the Zoom teaching life. So she finds herself usually in odds with her students and trying to maintain order. Hence why we called it like Freshman Circus. She's the unyielding ringleader.
Yeah, no, totally. I get that, and that makes sense. So what separates this show from any other kind of, let's say, you know, teen comedy or almost post-teen comedy, dramedy, whatever you want to call it? What's the big difference other than the obvious fact of, you know, the quarantine and being on Zoom? Why would somebody say, oh yeah, you know, here's why I want to watch this? What is that hook that y'all have?
I would say the hook is really in the interwoven storyline that we came up with, where it's not, although the characters may be cliche, the story and the things that these individuals have gone through aren't. So it's very much them dealing with real issues, you know, as Noah says at one time during the series, like real issues, not, you know, what protein shake, not, you know, the superficial things that that often Hollywood tries to glamorize. So it's real freshmen dealing with real issues of, well, how am I going to get through this? You know, they're essentially on their own. It's a whole new world. And I think that's what's going to be the drawing factor in getting people to look at it, that they're experiencing these new hoops and hurdles with the characters.
Yeah, gotcha. So why did y'all decide to release it like on a weekly basis? So you got two schools of thought here, right? And especially with, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, you've got one of two choices. Either the entire season drops and then you can binge watch it, or you have shows like The Mandalorian, for instance, on Disney Plus, where they do that traditional, you know, once a week you get an episode dropping. And y'all have chosen to go ahead and go with that once a week, we'll drop an episode. Was there any thought put behind that? You know, where did you figure out that, hey, we're not going to drop this so you can binge watch it. We're going to do it, you know, one episode a week.
When we initially we were talking about, you know, doing the whole drop as in, hey, let's just drop the entire season, all eight episodes, you know, they're manageable. It's not like you're watching a like You on Netflix or even Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Peacock. What it was mainly to build up the audience, like to get them behind each episode. And hopefully our goal is that once we build up enough, you know, viewership and audience, that eventually we may down the road, like start releasing the entire season just for them. So that way we can get more word of mouth, more eyes, more viewership, more fans. We really do doing this for them, not so much for us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no. I think that's...
Now go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think that was what really inspired me to do the show. Is I said I want to do something that's lighthearted, that's funny, that can help people go through this thing right now, because COVID doesn't care who the hell you are. It doesn't care if you're rich, doesn't care if you're, it doesn't care. Everyone is going through this. People around the world are going through this. So I think if we're able to take someone, some kid out there that's like 15 or 16 and take him out of his problems and just to focus on us and to make him laugh for 8 minutes and not, I mean, that's everything. I mean, the fact that so many kids now are missing their friends and missing people and don't have that opportunity is really important. And I think that for me, especially, I just really wanted to help people forget what they're going through and help people forget.
No, I think that's very important. I'm not going to mention the name of the show because I don't want to drag them through the mud. But there's a show that my wife and I used to watch. And I say used to watch. I think she still watches it, but I refuse to watch it because they went from the normal aspects of life to now it's all about COVID. It's all about wearing a mask and this, that, and the other. And I said, we deal with this every day. Entertainment is supposed to be an escape. And if I have to watch this on some show and see that virtue signaling about, you know, oh, wait, we're going to do a virtual hug. And, oh, let me give you a virtual high five or whatever. Wait, we're doing that every day. We don't need to see that on TV. And what y'all are doing is basically saying, hey, here's what's really going on right in here because you didn't have your show before this happened. So I do see that difference. And I think it is important. But there could be an argument said, how do we get out of this? I mean, let me ask y'all that. How do we get out of this?
That's out a question of, for Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. Are you talking about like out of, you know, the Zoom type, like how it's taking over our interpersonal relationships?
Is that
what you're aiming at?
Yeah. If you stop and think about it, there's a lot of people, my son included, who has a lot of friends on Xbox Live, right? And it's easy to have the friends. I mean, I've never met you two guys, but you know, we're sitting here, we're talking on video chat, right? And if we were doing a normal everyday interview or whatever, you'd probably be in our studio and we'd be sitting around, you'd be drinking Alien Ale beer with me out of our tap and everything else. And I'm sure you'd probably enjoy that. But then we've got to get past that. We've got to look forward to say, you know, hey, this is going to be over eventually. You know, let's hope, right? So where are we going to be? Are we going to still be stuck? Are there still going to be people that, based off of the fact that you can hide behind the computer screen and you can put a fake background like I have right now? I mean, like when we started this, I still had my Star Wars background on, right? I mean, you can hide behind all this. So do y'all see that as kind of a factor in what y'all are trying to communicate?
Okay, so I see two things. Gary McKee, I would love to have your input in this as well after, but I definitely think that when the COVID boom hit, when they first went on TV and said quarantine, no one knew what the hell that meant. And so 3 weeks has turned into, because I remember it was originally 3 weeks quarantine. Mm-hmm. Now we're turning into almost a year of staying home. So I think that as soon as the COVID boom hit where stay home, social media elevated to such a high level. Like that's when really social media boomed. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, everything, because they all said, well, now what do we do? Especially for the people that are like 18 and under, even 21 and under, still going to college. I think for them, it's really, really big to still have that interaction with people. And I think that as soon as COVID ends, I think social media might dip again because everyone wants to go out and hug their friends and be with their friends and go experience life and experience the world. But I think that social media will still be there, and films online will still be online, because now that we had no other option of filming online, now we're saying to ourselves, we could still do this. I mean, we could still work from home. We could still make a TV show from on the computer. So it just broadened our horizon of what we can do and can accomplish at home. And I think we'll take that with us. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to piggyback and say that there's been a lot of generosity from people this past year. Like, there have been people I've communicated with that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to connect with. Like, I talked to a gentleman up in Canada who edited my reel, and he did it for free, and usually that costs like a couple $100 in LA. I think we're seeing that social media is bringing people together and giving us that, and other people are thereby giving out that generosity. I feel that in order to get through this, to answer your question, it's going to take more a part of us as humans, people, to not take for granted the going to a concert anymore, or that handshake or the hug that you had from people every day. And, you know, that, at least for me, my line of work for, like, as living was, you know, as an actor, but I also to pay the bills, I was a brand ambassador. I did a lot of promo work and things at events like Staples Center, you name it. So I was always in front of people, you know, connecting with them, talking to them, and just having a good time. And looking back, there are a lot of things that I did take for granted that moving forward, I won't, you know, such as the hug and the handshake and the, you know, the high five. So I think it starts with us not taking advantage of the things that mean the most to us.
Sure. I guess one way to look at it, like you say, the high five, the hug, the handshake, or whatever. I shook hands with a guy last week, and we both kind of looked at each other funny, like, when's the last time you shook hands? It's that used to be just a normal thing. And of course, I know y'all aren't in Texas. Texas... We're a little bit different down here. We're like, okay, yeah, COVID's a real thing. We're not pretending it's not. But we also say, hey, we're not going to, stop a lot of this. But there's a lot of people that you walk up to and they're not quite sure. Do you shake hands? Do you fist bump? Do you do all that? And I think the social interaction is going to still be bizarre once we get past all this stuff. So yeah. in going with that kind of theme, and especially with what your show is trying to show, right? Let's say everything goes away. You've released your show, you've released all episodes, and magically, COVID's gone. Could you have season 2 of your show the way you're doing it now, or would you have to change season 2 and say, now we got to change this?
I would say that it would change, and more of a, it wouldn't be school, but it would just be like a group text almost, like a consistently changing group text of people still figuring out how to communicate and how to navigate, almost like a support group. So I feel like it could work in that sense, where we could have a coming together and then maybe film individual scenes like outside, and then just make it like intermix it together.
I definitely agree with Gary, because Gary even knows that, Max, the whole video thing has been around for a while. The whole FaceTime, I remember I UVU'd with someone back in 2009. This thing has been around for a while, but it's crazy to think that before the pandemic, no one knew what Zoom was. Zoom was around. No one knew how to use it. But now everyone knows how to use it.
Yeah, and wouldn't we all have liked to have a little bit of stock in Zoom before all this happened?
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Because
Pfizer.
Yeah, you're right with Skype. I mean, Skype's been around forever.
For a long time.
You've had FaceTime and you've had all this. And I remember way back in the day, I mean, I'm obviously older than you guys, when cameras came out that you could plug into the computer and actually do some video chat, and it was ugly. And I mean, now Zoom has made it better, and we keep progressing farther and farther to make it smoother and everything, but it still doesn't replace being in person with people. It never will. It never will.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Gary will agree that, you know, the Zoom thing is great. Doing the TV show, everything is great, but it doesn't replace being in front of somebody and interacting with someone and bouncing off of them in person. I mean, right. that's a completely different energy.
Exactly. I mean, there were times where I just wanted to say, like, hey, like, let's do a high, no, we can't do the high five thing. Or I think even one of the other castmates was saying, like, maybe we should play around with the idea that maybe one of us breaks quarantine. we move on with the season two? And it's like, wait, what are you doing over there? It's like, yeah, about that, you know, we've been quarantined together. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So.
All right. So moving forward, what y'all's plans after this show?
Gary McKee can answer that for me.
Oh, great. So Maselli's working on this Operation Fandom thing, and it's 50 years, if correct me if I'm wrong, of movie history.
Yeah, the project is called Fandemic, 50 Fans Celebrate 50 Years of Cinema, and what it is basically is we're taking reenactments from people around the world. And they're doing reenactments of, like, someone's doing Spider-Man from 2002, and someone's doing, like, Dark Knight from 2008. And we're compiling these clips. So it's 50 years in a row, and we're doing it in one film. It's going to be a gigantic fan film of people reenacting their favorite movie from home. And that's the only rule we gave them is don't leave the house. Use what you have. And it's been really amazing. Somebody just sent us a reenactment yesterday, the day before they were finished. Some girl did The Little Mermaid, and she used her daughters, like, to get her daughters involved and to have fun for at least a day. You know, that's all what it's about. I wanted to give people an outlet to help people not turn on CNN again.
Yeah. So last question, and I'm going to go with McKee first and then Maselli. Best movie ever made?
Oh, easy. 2008, Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan.
Maselli?
So when you say best movie, what do you think, like, best movie to me, or like what I think the number one movie on the AFI list should be?
let's go with both. And I'm sure you're going to be incorrect, because I'm going to tell you what the correct answer is.
So the best movie ever made for me, I don't have one. There's so many amazing, magical, wonderful, wonderful films, but there's too many. But
tell them the number one on the AFI. We've had this conversation.
Oh, and please don't say what everybody else says. I can't even think of the movie right now. What's the name of the movie?
Casablanca?
Oh, no. That's actually the correct answer.
Yeah, of course.
Casablanca is the correct answer. But no, I was thinking of Rosebud. Why can't I think of the name of the movie?
Oh, Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Everybody always says Citizen Kane. But no, Casablanca to me is the best movie ever made. Hands down. But not to steal your thunder, Maselli, but now that you know the correct answer, what would you put up there?
So I think there's one movie that I think will be number one for me, and it should be on the list as number one. So I'm going to say this movie has inspired people and entertained people for 80 plus years. This movie has inspired kids, adults, everyone in between, grandparents. People love this movie. And if you look at this movie, the costumes are masterpieces. The sets are masterpieces. Technicolor was a masterpiece. The casting was unbelievable. Has to be The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, so, well, you would make my wife happy with that, because that would be her answer. It's always Wizard of Oz. And so every time I force her to watch Casablanca, I have to watch Wizard of Oz, but I can't stand it. I just can't stand the singing and all that. I love a good musical. I do. When musicals are put together well, I do like it, but I can't stand all the singing in that. So, well, Gary, please let everybody know how they can find the show, find you on social media, all that good stuff. So it's plug time. So I'll let whichever Gary wants to take care of this and make sure everybody knows how to find you.
Okay, well, you can find the Freshman Circus on YouTube just by going in on Freshman Circus. We also have our page up on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Freshman Circus, just all one word. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, at Gary_McKee2. And I also have my actor's website, GaryMcKeeActor.net.
Yeah, and you could find me just on IMDb. I type in my name and you'll find me, and that's it.
All right. Well, great, guys. Well, thanks for joining me today. Really appreciate it. And lots of luck to y'all. And everybody needs to.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Everybody needs to check out the Freshman Circus. And so one thing we didn't talk about, but I've got some signed posters from them, and we're gonna talk about a little contest that's gonna come out here shortly after we release this, and we're gonna send those to y'all. So thank you, Gary, for sending those, and we're gonna hang one up in the studio.
Of course.
So thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we'll catch you on the next one.